Hi, my name is John DeBenedict, and I play Voken on Zodiac Task Force. And you're listening to Raving Lunatic Media.
I'll crush you!
Let's make sure that history never forgets the name.
Sci-Fi Malady.
Got out.
Scott, oh Scott, where are you? Oh, Thomas, you made it. So, where's Scott?
I'm not really sure. He's got to be here somewhere. Hey, by the way, what are these things on our neck?
Oh, they're wedlock collars. If we separate too far, our heads blow up.
I'm sorry, what? When on earth did this happen?
Oh, yesterday. I had them installed while you guys were sleeping.
And why on earth would you do that?
Well, I kind of got sick of Scott being difficult to schedule, so I figured this way we would light a fire under his butt.
So you are literally trying to make us prisoners to the podcast now?
Well, basically. I mean, if you don't come to the show, you die. I'm terrible.
Well, that kind of explains Scott then.
How?
I just found him. Over here.
Where?
Yeah, brilliant idea, buddy.
Why? Scott, why would you give it all up?
Well, he did leave a note.
Huh. Couldn't review any more of Rage's crappy movies. Head Explosion was better.
Can't really blame him for that one. Though I do wonder why ours didn't blow up.
Oh, that's because of a plot hole.
Well, that brings up the next thought. What are you going to tell Sarah?
You mean, wait... time to start the review. Sci-Fi Malady, Symptom 294, Wedlock. Run away from partner and your head pops off. Welcome back, sickies, to Jail June, where we are going over the sci-fi films that have to do with jail. And if you're thinking to yourself, how do you dig these things up? Mostly just bad luck. Really, mostly just bad luck. So, today we're reviewing a movie that it is 90s... how do I put it? 90s afternoon couch potato theater movie?
That's a description.
Yeah, I mean, well, what would you say?
Weird?
It is that, yes. And those kind of movies really were. It could also be called direct-to-video. I mean, when you look at the beginning, I forget the film companies that made this, but when you look at the first ones, you're like, yeah, this clearly was something that either went straight to video or, nobody cares, you know?
Well,
like, this was meant to be on Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, that the beginning of the film by itself was just like, wow, this is cheesy and, like, really, like, low budget.
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, and you would think most of the budget probably went for the main character, Frank Warren, played by Rutger Hauer, who at that point was famous for Blade Runner and amongst other films. He, you know, really, you gotta wonder if at that point Rutger was just desperate for films, because this guy did not deserve what he got. He is an accomplished actor and has been in some really great films. How he ended up here, I can only attribute to desperation or a complete lapse of judgment.
He was sold a bill of goods that did not deliver.
Okay, that's true too. He could have been deceived. That's fair. That's fair. That's option C. So,
hey, I got this great script you should see. It's really awesome.
And, you know, the elevator pitch and everything else probably looked great. And then after they made the film, he probably looked at it and was like, what have I done? At any rate, so what this movie is about is in the future, sometime in the future. That's literally what it says.
I'm going to guess not that distant a future, but...
Oh, no, not. But that's when they can't make it look that far in the future, they say somewhere in the future. So...
Yes, sometime in the future really... when America mixed with China?
Or something?
Because that cab had Chinese writing on the side and that...
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, so...
And they were all speaking English and acting like Americans. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, somewhere in the future, which honestly looks more like today than Back to the Future Part 2 does. So I guess give him credit.
I think it looks more like the 90s, but, you know.
Well, it's less of a disappointment than what we got with Back to the Future, which was literally...
I'm still waiting for my hoverboard and my instant...
Exactly.
And my microwavable pizza.
And instant...
Insta food or whatever it was.
Yeah, Insta, Nike, self-power laces and all that. Yeah, yeah. We're going to be dead before that shows up, sadly. And so anyway, the movie is takes place. It's got three people, Noelle, Frank, and Sam, who are diamond thieves, who are in a diamond exchange, I guess.
I'm just going to say they're crappy diamond thieves, but continue.
Oh, sure. Oh, without a doubt. And they get the diamonds, and everything's going swell, and Frank and Noelle are supposed to get married, but she double-crosses him with Sam, and she shoots him, and then suddenly they wind up in prison, or Frank winds up in prison. How did he survive being shot? Unclear.
Well, also,
don't think about
it. He was shot at almost point-blank range by a Desert Eagle. That's a
in the chest too.
Yeah, that's a 50. I mean, it's not 50, you know, BMG, but that's a 50 cal pistol. That still packs a lot of wallop and quite a bit of lead that just went into him.
Exactly. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna chalk that up to Paul Mac and Cheese. He's a guy I knew who would hand wave these away by saying it's the future. And if you're saying, Thomas, that's not satisfying, no, it's not.
I wasn't going to say that. I'm just saying physics. That's all I was thinking.
So anyway, he, instead of dying, they make a reference that there was surgery somewhere, but who cares? Anyway.
Magic future surgery.
He winds up... Yeah, magic future surgery. So he winds up in prison where you find out that all the prisoners are... Oh, it's... And the prison is run by the, like, Happy Time Corporation or something.
It's a future prison.
Yeah, it's like a resort. And they,
resort.
That's how they call it. And you have a lock,
collar installed. Yeah.
Collar. Thank you. That's the word. Collar around you. And you're wedlocked to another person. Meaning if that person gets 100 yards away from you, both of your heads blow up. Now throughout the film, you're going to notice that 100 yards is
subjective.
A really loose, exactly, subjective with a capital S. But Greg, we're going to need you to get off our back about that, because basically you find out that they all are given color names, and Jasper, who's the big bad of there, is also in league with the warden.
Also, going to say that's a terrible idea because you're very quickly going to run out of color names.
Well, the whole idea is stupid because, as I've pointed out in a message, so it never occurred to them what would happen if all of them just decided to walk out of the prison together.
Well, apparently he has a remote control that can just blow him up remotely.
Ah, I see. I see.
Which he never mentioned.
So, yeah, until the end. So, but without knowing that piece of information, it begs the question, no one got up and said, hey, we could all just walk out of here together.
Well, I mean, it's at least a interesting idea because it's like, yeah, you have the prisoners basically rat on each other because none of them know if that person going to try to escape is going to blow up their collar or not.
Yeah, and theoretically, it seems like a neat idea, but there are so many ways around it that I'm surprised this hasn't happened before.
Well,
but
there's also the problem of apparently the guards already know who each other's partners are, so that kind of defeats part of the purpose.
big problem with that. Nobody should know who's wedlocked to whom. Because then, yeah, all you have to do is bribe a guard.
Which, yeah, and apparently in this prison, they have a lot of issues.
Yeah, loose lips sink ships. Let's just say that. So, basically, Frank, he got the diamonds, but before he got shot, he hid them somewhere. And nobody knows where. So the warden, who is now in league with his former partner, Sam, and Noel, are trying to get the info out of him. Where's the diamonds? And they put him in a sensory deprivation chamber, pee on his face, do all these sort of things, beat him up, and a bunch of other boring stuff happens. But in the end, Frank and Jasper, the big bad who works for the warden, the troubleshooter, I guess you would say, the stool pigeon, the rat, they get into a fight, and Frank manages to break his collar, which means it blows up. And as luck would have it, Jasper's crony is who he's wedlocked to.
Convenient. So they both die. Very convenient.
Convenient. And then Tracy, the girl that has been trying to get with Frank, helps him escape because she finds out they're wedlocked together. And he wants nothing to do with her, but he's kind of got no choice. And they get out, and they're fugitives on the run. And they eventually go to a brewery or a nuclear plant? I don't know. Where they get an old toolkit because Frank's an electronics engineer, and he eventually manages to get the collars off of them and finds out where the diamonds are. What did I miss?
It's the double cross.
Oh, yeah. Well, that happens. Yeah, that's right. The double cross. Sam and Noel show up because they've been with the warden the whole time trying to get the diamonds.
And technically, the entire time, his escape partner is also the rat.
Yeah. So
there's a in simpler terms.
But she eventually.
Yeah, he has... In simpler terms, he has terrible pics of girls.
Yeah, but she eventually changes her mind about him. Noelle, on the other hand, does not. Because at the end, they go to the place where the diamonds are. It's buried in some of the ruins of some church. And that's when the warden and Noelle show up to steal them. But Frank somehow manages to rig the devices they have with explosives. So the warden dies, and so does Noelle. And then they get the diamonds, and he and Tracy ride off into the happy sunset. Yay.
Well, technically, I guess they got the money from the diamonds.
Yeah, that's right. There was like $25 million. That's right. They sold it, and he put the money in the... That's right. Not the diamonds themselves.
And he got half of it, because the other... blew up.
They went halvesies, but then they stayed together, so who cares?
Well, no, he put the bomb in one of the briefcase, remember?
Oh, yeah, and then she blew up the other, and then Noelle blew up the other one, or blew up holding the other.
Yeah, so the one device, briefcase went down with the helicopter.
Yeah.
So half of 25 mil, which in the future, I don't know inflation rates,
doesn't
so who knows,
seem to matter.
Might be nothing.
Well, if you overheard in the background, basically the dollar was worth almost nothing in the U.S. when it went back to the gold standard. So, like you just said, with inflation, who knows? But presumably it's a lot.
Or nothing? Probably, but who knows? Well, again, the problem with this entire movie is nothing's explained or really talked about much. And it's just, we'll go from one thing to the next and nothing will actually make sense if you think about it for longer than 10 seconds.
Yeah, and they give little snippets, but you don't really care because you're too busy wondering, and that has to do with anything.
Yeah.
So,
like, why on earth would you have basically a brothel in your prison? Okay, sure.
That one I kind of get, but at the same time, wouldn't that cause problems?
I'm going to say yes, except there's a bunch of other problems, including medical problems.
Medical problems, fighting over the same girl or guy. Yeah.
And also, we don't need too many prison guards because we'll have the inmates police themselves. But we're going to then not make them all even. We're going to elevate some of them. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we're getting into rips and picks, but before I do that, let me do the fun facts. Yeah. And thankfully, there's few of them. Few of them. I'm not joking. So, but first of all, if you're wondering, hey, two prisoners who are chained together, this, haven't I seen this before? Yes, there was a movie called Chained Heat, where a black guy and a white guy prisoner in the 50s were running away, but they were chained together, and it was a more racially meaning movie. In fact, it's a better movie.
Wait, this is Danny Trejo. Derivative? What?
Can you believe it? I was shocked, too. Danny Trejo, the famous actor, makes a brief appearance until he's killed. Oh, yeah, that happens. Who cares? In the beginning of the movie, I don't know if this was deliberate, but you see a billboard for the movie Marked for Death, which came out in 1990. I don't know if that's a whoopsie moment or a deliberate plug, because Basil Wallace, who played Emerald in this movie, is also in that movie. So, I don't know. The concept of the exploding collars actually, despite the fact of what I just said, came from the movie The Running Man, where if you crossed a line, your head blew up. That one made a little bit more sense, because if you cross a line, your head blows up, not if you separate from this one person. I don't, anyway. The setting for Camp Holiday Prison, that's what it is, Camp Holiday, was also used in season 7 premiere of Star Trek The Next Generation. There's your Star Trek connection. And I'm sure one of the actors in here has been in Star Trek. If Scott were not dead, he'd tell us. And finally, this movie somehow was nominated for an Emmy for sound editing. I said nominated, didn't get it.
Okay, good. So, I'm wondering what other ones were in that one, but...
Well, they probably... Yeah, well, that's the other thing. Was it a slow year? But now we could get into our rips and picks. And so you brought up the idea of a brothel, the idea that between, what was it, like 7 and 10 was magic hour, they called it, where everyone could get with everyone.
Well, it's, and also apparently on one hand, the brothel is also the bar slash just hangout area, because he's there just reading a magazine. He's not there.
Yeah.
So, really, I'm just going to say this adds a lot of issues in my mind. Like, I get some of the, okay, release sexual stress and that. I get that. I do. I understand that. But then how they put it together and where, that makes no sense.
I guess it, on the one hand, it's like, okay, it relieves that tension and stress, but as you just pointed out, it doesn't take care of the VD problem that is probably rampant. But also, wouldn't there be fights over who gets with who? I mean, we saw that already. Jasper was like, no, she's mine. And
well,
you
apparently,
know.
This is the other thing that makes no sense. It's a prison. You want every prisoner to live as much as possible to get your money, but we will allow fights, no problem. And just plain out murders.
Yeah, just like,
apparently, right in the beginning of the movie, yeah, he's dead. You watched him get killed right away, and nobody cares, apparently, so just...
Yep, no.
Okay.
Just like last movie.
I think you'd want a little more revenue if your prisoners just keep dropping dead in your new experimental prison. Not good.
Yeah, you know, I was going to ask a question about, you know, privatizing prisons here, but I don't want to get down that rabbit hole. But what I will say, is it feasible that a company's this dumb? And the answer is yes.
Yes, it's always feasible,
but
yes.
It's always feasible that could happen. But the big question is, after this incident, you would think that, you know, wow, just not enough guards and... As you just said, hey, a fight broke out. Yeah. And?
Well, the other problem being that your warden, who's also apparently in charge of this company, also happens to be in bed with these guys trying to find the diamonds, which somehow no one has figured out he sold them already. Diamonds are, should be able to tell that. But okay,
yeah.
Moving on from not being able to tell the diamonds are sold... Your answer is, we're going to get the information out of him. We'll try to be nice. No. Okay, we're going to stick him in a tank.
Sensory deprivation tank where he might go nuts.
Yes, that's a problem.
Okay,
where,
I mean,
obviously,
guess.
He's been in there quite a while. He grew a beard in there.
Oh yeah.
Now,
and you're peeing on his face, which means he's living in pee, which could lead to infection or disease. But what could go wrong there?
Well, also,
you know,
obviously he's been in there long enough and not been moved from it, so he's had to use the bathroom in there multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're probably actually going to kill him doing this, one, if not cause him to be all crazy, two. And if he's sitting in there long enough, he's no longer able to even walk, let alone do anything, because you just...
Yeah, that's good point, atrophy.
Because I don't know about you, but yes, I can grow a beard pretty quick, get some scruffle going, but he had a pretty good beard going for there. That's not like a one-day beard growth.
Yeah, that wasn't like a matter of 3 days.
Yeah, so it was like, I get your idea, and this is an interesting thing, I get, you know, torture him that way, and you know, but I'm just going to say again, you might want to use this sparingly, and you might want to also mix it up, because this is not going to be effective.
No, no, especially if you kill him.
Yeah, because you're just leaving him in there, and one of the other prisoners has to bring him food.
Yeah, against the will of the warden, no doubt. Which, where's the cameras? I don't know.
Again, don't ask questions with this film. If you think of anything longer than 10 seconds, you immediately go, what? Because, again, your demonstration at the beginning of the film for your prisoners is to blow up two collars on dummies. I'm just going to say something. One, you just blew up two collars. I'm sure those aren't cheap.
Yeah.
Two, is this effective? Because, again, we'll just walk out, you know, all walk out. Oh, the majority of us will walk out. Maybe some of us.
And
also, apparently it beeps when you get close and then resets. So couldn't everyone just start testing to figure out who your partner was?
That's exactly. It's like, okay, I'm going to step out and whoever beeps, now I know who it is. It's like you're really banking on the stupidity of your prisoners.
Which, again, like, the prisoners are also in charge of producing electronics. So obviously you're thinking these guys are not complete idiots.
And you know that Frank is an electronics expert and you're giving him electronics gear.
Well, the other problem being that
what's
they have
that?
An entire
He's
welding
trying
and grinding
to find a way out.
Going, which, by the way, that's something that aggravates the hell out of me every time. Well, guys, I see you are just making sparks to make sparks. You're not doing anything there. Just sparks.
Yeah.
Lovely, guys.
Way to waste acetylene.
Yeah.
Good job.
You're grinding on nothing?
Nothing.
Okay. Ah, yes, you're welding nothing. Sure.
Well, that's a pretty crappy bead on the piece of metal that's achieving nothing.
And also, apparently, you're now, we are going to make a 5-second blurb of water shortage and government control of water.
Oh yeah, that, you know, that's like one of the rips, but it's funny when they're like the drought in California. It's like, oh, they got that right. That's
funny. Anyone with half a brain saw the drought coming. So,
I guess so, but still,
it's like,
it was
wow,
funny.
You got no actual natural water, and you use up a ton of it, and your population continues to grow, and you still haven't figured out how to get water. Yeah, this is going to come back to bite you.
Yeah. But hey, no, keep doing what you're doing. I like the mention, the point you made in the text. You know it's a computer because it's blinking.
Oh, that was... Okay, that is something I want to rip quite heavily here. One, yes, your computer, and I use that very loosely, computer to get into the bank vault thing is just literally a box with lights. It's clear as day.
Yep.
There's nothing else there. It's not like it's got buttons. It's just light bulbs. Okay, great. That's terrible and not how any computer should look, but okay. And then, if you're going to double-cross someone, great. First, make sure you actually do the heist right. For two things. First, you are going to do a heist while wearing a necklace, diamond necklace.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
You know, fine, buy it. Stuff it in your pocket. Don't wear it. That's just stupid.
Yeah, and of course the cops caught you and were actually, they were the smart ones in this entire movie. Oh, they let you wear that down at whatever they call it, station? Yeah, there is no station like that. It's like, wow.
And
good thing the cops were smarter than
also,
you.
Also, okay, you had a backup to pretend to be cops if you actually screwed it up. Why did you need this backup? Because you shouldn't have screwed it up. He opened the door too early.
Yeah.
You couldn't wait 30 seconds? You couldn't?
Well, they made it sound like, you know, oh, you said got the alarm. I thought you meant... That's one where it's like, is
that's
that
kind
of feasible?
Also,
though?
Then you just go punch out three things. Okay, apparently you knew exactly where these diamonds were. I'm glad you knew and knew exactly everything. The other problem, and this is a bigger problem I have. If you know anything about milling through steel and drilling through that, he had a saw, a hole saw, to drill into the... I hate to tell this to you, but vaults are not made of a very soft steel. It's not thin steel or a soft steel. He managed to drill through that thing incredibly quickly.
I guess the hole saw was made of adamantium. They just forgot
it
to mention
that. It had to
that.
Be, because I would like one of those, please, because that thing drilled through that.
Pretty quickly,
I
too.
I think any of the tool steel I work with would be no match for that, that's for sure.
Yeah, they would have broken.
Yeah, that... Running a hole drill at that kind of speed through that kind of metal, you're asking for it to burn up, if not just break the bit. But again,
yeah,
don't ask and don't think about anything longer than 10 seconds because it doesn't make sense. Just like how you survive bullets like that. Don't ask questions.
Or the 100 yards that are horrendously subjective. You know, isn't everyone breaking 100 yards on a regular basis here?
Yeah, or the fact that Desert Eagle carries 5 shots, but apparently now only carries 3 for this film.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of the YouTube channel pitch meeting wherever stuff is pointing out, hey, I'm going to need you to shut up and get off my back about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this was the entire film where they just went, nope, we're not explaining that. Moving on.
Somebody off to the side. Hey, you know that. Hey, shut up about that.
We're
okay?
done with that scene. We're moving on. Okay, yep. How do all the guys have weapons in jail? Don't ask questions. Okay.
Yeah. Or you got to love, here's a good rip, how day one, the warden brings Frank in to basically tell his diabolical plan. Wow, Bond villain on day one.
Yeah, that's a terrible
okay.
one. Ugh.
I mean, that okay, I mean, why not? What could possibly go wrong there? Or let's just talk about...
I could make your life miserable. Really good.
Yeah.
No.
Let's talk about the bad guy, the ultimate bad guy, Jasper. Two things he does that are particularly... Everything he does is cringy. But there are two things in particular that are cringy
only
to
two?
Me. Two things stand out the most. That's all. Everything about him is cringe. Everything.
Yeah, there's a... yeah.
He's a walking cringe
factor.
He's
also a walking cliche.
But there's
cliche,
two things that
but...
stand up. Oh, my God. So he sees the one woman walk in, and his pickup line of her is to walk up and whisper, juicy. Huh. I wonder why she's not interested. Next is when he decides to attack Frank in the cafeteria, in the mess, and he says, you're dead, Magenta, Which, and then he proceeds to shove pasta down his throat. It's like, you're dead, Magenta. Have some pasta. It's almost as bad as Ripley trying to get Ripley being choked with a rolled up magazine. But this is somehow funnier because you just got to wonder, did the director actually tell the actor, all right, you need to grab a bunch of spaghetti and try to shove it down his
mouth?
I'm
guessing yes, because there's no way on earth that anyone's thinking of that one on their own, I think. But
I mean, you could have punched him like you did in the fight the next day, but instead you went for death by food.
Yeah, it's an odd one. How about the other odd and terrible one? Yes, somehow you found that they are in this motel. We're not going to explain how the police found them or anything like that. Okay.
Oh, wait, we do know that. The hotel owner saw them.
Yes.
And saw a newspaper. And so that one's actually explained. Although I do find it funny that they jump
the police, which seems to be a planned ambush, yeah, but not planned. And your ambush plan is to shoot at them at close range and long range? You're really hoping there's only a few officers that show up, and also none of them get off a lucky shot.
No, well, what's funny is the way they just kept, they were running and they're like, hey, they're far away. Let's stop here and use our shotguns. Or you could keep running after them. They're not exactly running quickly. Nope, you're just going to stay there and they're going to crest the hill and you're just like, oh, darn.
Well, what about the entire bus chase scenes?
Oh, my gosh. Keep 100 feet, keep 100 yards away. Within 100 yards.
Yeah, and also the police totally missed all that. Even though they were there, but then wasn't there and missed that. And you just bus jacked someone, but no one seems to know or care.
We're in the middle of, we're fugitives on the run. Hey, let's go crash a wedding that's in the middle of the city. That's perfect sense to me.
Yeah, also, if someone's screaming, I have a bomb, might want to take them a little seriously, just saying.
I understand the tension of that scene. Let's put them in an elevator, make them separate. No, I get the idea of the tension, but the problem is, yeah, the way the guards are just so cavalier, like, whatever. Plus the whole thing about grabbing them and keeping them separate, it's like, is there a reason you have to do that?
Yeah, just throw them both in the elevator. You want to, you know, you're both under arrest, basically. Why do you need to separate them? You don't. It's, again, contrived. Yeah, everything about this, that whole wedding scene is contrived. You didn't tell me you were in jail? There. What? I'm like, what on earth is going on here? This is getting stupider. I didn't think that was possible. Yeah,
somehow. Or when they got inside that newspaper truck and, well, fortunately, it just happened to stop right in front of the hotel.
Yeah.
It just stopped at the motel and then it's like, hey, look, right where we wanted to be.
How about the other fact that he just decided to grab a clipboard and pretend to be part of loading the truck? I'm just going to tell you.
And everyone just bought it.
He's not wearing work clothes, for one. He's wearing that, like, weird mid, you know, like Western,
like that Native American,
yeah, like
whatever,
poncho jacket type, yeah, jacket, it's like thing. I'm sorry, you're not wearing the correct attire, dude. One, you're standing out, and two, none of us recognize you. What are you doing here?
It's like they assume the workers forget who they work with.
Hey, that must be Bob. I haven't seen Bob for a while, but that must be him. I totally forgot what Bob looked like. He was on vacation last week, so that must be Bob.
Hey Bob, you turned blonde. Yeah. Pretty cool.
You totally changed your face structure and gained some weight, but same person, I guess. Also,
you got a clipboard, so who else could you
apparently
be?
Yeah, look, I'm popular. You read the magazine, you know, the newspaper on yourself.
Yeah,
that's cliche.
You know, I want to try to get to some picks here. I have two.
I have a couple.
Yeah, okay, cool. I got one that's really easy. Let me start off with that. The Sam is played by James Remar, who is... I kept trying to wonder, who is that? Who is that? I know that guy from somewhere. He's Ajax from the Warriors. That was a pick for me, because I like the Warriors. But what's your pick?
Even though it doesn't take that much time to explain anything, and it jumps from one thing to another, it does have action that keeps going. So,
yeah, that's
I mean,
true.
It's kind of like, I wish you would explain a little more, but you're keeping me entertained because you keep just going to something different.
I'm not getting too bored. Yeah. That's true. I can follow. And it's not too long either.
Thankfully.
It's not played out. It's not played out like 2012. That's a good point. I was going to say that the premise is okay. It's poorly implemented, but it's not bad.
Well, as I said, you know, basically having the prisoners police themselves makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, they probably should have come up with a little bit better of a system, but yeah, the whole concept is like, yeah, you could cut down on guards that way. And yeah, I mean, that if you found a way to stop them from fighting, that would be even better.
Well, that's the where the future comes in, and they come up with the intestinators.
Yeah, right, right.
You didn't know this was the prequel to that.
Yeah, this is the other one is the far future pre. Oh yeah, yeah. Look at that. We just made up some headcanon, and we're not satisfied. This doesn't make anything better.
The other thing I did like is at least. The lines delivered were cheesy. A lot of these things were like, wow, that is a cheesy line you delivered. But they delivered it with, like, gusto and fully committed.
Yeah, they were trying. That's true. They weren't phoning it in.
Yeah, none of the actors were phoning it in. Now, the lines were terrible, but they said those lines with gusto and actually made some of those cheesy lines actually kind of work. And that's saying something for some of those lines. Wow.
True, yeah. They gave it the Peter Cushing treatment where you bring it your best even when the material sucks. Yeah. So that's a good point. That is true. I never doubted the sincerity of the actors. I just thought, man, they're working with garbage. But that's not their fault. But no, anyway. Well, I think at this point we're good to rate it. How many wedlock collars do we want to give this thing?
Okay. I'm going to give it 6.5. Maybe 7. Right. But it's got some action. There's something there that's an interesting premise. I mean, The double crossed. I mean, there's a lot of unexpected twists and turns, which was kind of interesting. I mean, it's like, oh, didn't see that one coming. You know, that type of, it's like, oh, I thought that, oh, you're double crossing and you're double crossing. I mean, at a certain point, if I was him, I would just be like, dude, I don't trust anyone because everyone seems to double cross me. But, I like there was something there, the action, and it was an interesting story. I just don't think it was executed that well, and a lot of it did miss. So actually, yeah, 6.5. It's like not terrible, but it's been done better.
Yeah. I'd give it a 4, probably a 5. It's middling. It's cheesy. It's got all the flaws we pointed out.
It's not bad enough for you to love it.
No, it's not bad enough for me to love it, but it's not good enough for me to like it. And it's not, and I can't hate it. It's kind of like the sci-fi original series that you're bored and back in the 90s, nothing else is on. So I guess I'll watch this and I'm not that disappointed, but I'm disappointed. there was a good premise here. It just, the implementation sucked, and you know, the actors tried, but what are you going to do with the material they had? And you know, yeah, that's all I can say. It's, this movie's meh. It's meh. You know, it's better than bad. It's meh. So, but I can tell you what's not meh. Some of the other offerings we have here on Raving Lunatic Media from our previous episodes of Sci-Fi Malady to Zodiac Task Force, which a new episode should be dropping tonight, along with some killer art from our artist, Alyssa. So you could tune into the Discord server for that. You can also tune to the Discord server by October at the very latest for the series The Janitor, a film, a series about kind of urban legends and horror stories from around the U.S., each state's own unique stories, as narrated by a janitor who just happens to be the crypt keeper type. But trust me, it's not as cheesy as that 80s version, which I do love anyway. Also, be on the lookout for Why You Should, where Ruck can tell you all the things you should be watching other than Wedlock. So all of those things you can check out on our Discord page at Raven Lunatic Media, or you could learn more at our website at
www.ravinglunaticmedia.com, ravinglunaticmedia.com. What is left for them, Mork?
Stay sick, sickies.